Support for 89.7 comes from the Johnson Investment Council, where professionals use an integrated approach to create a customized financial plan for each client. Joyce Waters has more information at 365-9103. Johnson Investment Council.
Those were the sounds from the first of two explosions and the panicked reaction of runners and bystanders near the finish line of the Boston Marathon yesterday afternoon. Medical personnel were on hand for the usual marathoner injuries, luckily, and were able to move in quickly to save as many as possible in the aftermath. Still, three died, including an 8-year-old boy. Several victims lost their limbs, and then more than 150 have suffered an array of less serious injuries from the explosions. NPR reported this morning that authorities searched an apartment in the Boston suburb of Revere late yesterday and left with some bags, but there have been no arrests reported. And as Boston and other major cities across the nation and around the world are on alert, London does so in particular as preparations continue for the Wednesday funeral of former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and also a major marathon next Sunday there. Coming up later, we'll hear from a Homeland Security expert based in Boston and also from the head of the Columbus Marathon who was in Boston yesterday. For our first segment, a quick open forum. What do you make of this latest tragedy, which now numbers casualties as high as 176? Give us a call and tell us about it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Patriots Day, not to be confused with Patriot Day, established on September 11th to mark the World Trade Center attacks. Patriots Day commemorates the opening battles of the American Revolutionary War, the battles of Lexington and Concord, both held on April 19th, 1775. The holiday has become best known for the marathon, and is in fact also referred to as Marathon Monday. This week includes several tragic anniversaries: the Oklahoma City bombing on April 19th, 1995, the assault of the Branch Davidian complex in Waco, Texas on April 19th, 1993, the Columbine school shooting on April 20th, 1999, and the Virginia Tech massacre on April 16th, 2007. And now we can add the Boston Marathon bombings to the list. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Coming up later in the program, we'll be hearing from a Homeland Security expert based in Boston. We'll also be hearing from Darris Blackford. He is the man in charge of the Columbus Marathon. He was in Boston yesterday, flew home, and is back in town today. He'll join us in the studio and tell us what he saw and tell us what, going forward, this means to other marathons like the Columbus Marathon. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also use our Facebook page and post your question if you have one or your comment there. We just heard an FBI BBC just broadcast parts of a press conference that included the FBI. They said that they were looking for anything anyone had to offer in terms of details, photographs, video, and so forth. They're going to sort of break down the day minute by minute. And the more video and photographs and other sorts of evidence like that, the better. There were two bombs only. Both exploded. We heard yesterday that there were some unexploded bombs and so forth. That's not the case. There were two bombs. Both exploded within about 10 or 12 seconds of each other. The FBI, the law enforcement in Boston said that this case is not going to get solved quickly. Should be reminded that the Oklahoma City bomber, Tim McVeigh, was only caught by chance. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513. Did you have somebody there at Boston that was in the race? Have you heard from them? Have you heard what they had to say? Were you there? Give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. It was the 117th Boston Marathon. It's an event that's watched around the world, usually ending in celebration. It is a qualifier, an Olympic qualifier. It is many things to many people. Some of the biggest crowds amass in the city near the end of the race because that's when the celebrations start. Most of the runners, most of the elite runners, or all of the elite runners apparently, had already passed long ago. I've heard differing reports about whether or not this was a busy time for the race or not. CNN reported this morning at about 9:20 that authorities, including bomb experts, searched an apartment in Revere, Massachusetts. They removed items. That's about it. They said the search was not a suggestion that police may have a suspect. At this point, there is no suspect and no leading theory on motive, the official said. However, everyone has said that it was an act of terrorism. The search on that home was connected to a young Saudi citizen who was visiting on a student visa and has been questioned. Once again, there is no suspect. No one has been arrested. Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis said that many people were being questioned. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you want to talk about the tragedy in Boston yesterday, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I have no calls lined up right now, so don't think that you're going to get behind a long line. If there's something you want to say about this, 614-292-8513 is the number to call, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up, we're going to hear from an expert on Homeland Security who can maybe help us understand what this means going forward for other events in the nation, around the world. What typically happens? What's the usual protocol? We have heard this morning that virtually every bit of the race is covered by video. It's unclear whether the preparation leading up to the race is covered as thoroughly by video. But these days, there are cameras almost everywhere, especially in big cities. And that's not to mention just ordinary people catching video on their phones, or if they actually still carry a video recorder, on their video recorders. We saw some pretty horrific shots yesterday. The man, maybe you saw the shot of the runner who sort of seemed to crumble and fall to the ground during the explosion. He was up and running again. He was fine. I read a report about that today. He's something in his mid-70s. It was his fourth or fifth marathon, maybe more, and he was fine, if you happen to catch that video. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have turned our attentions to the horrible tragedy in Boston, Massachusetts, the fabulous Boston Marathon. The 117th marathon was sadly interrupted yesterday with two explosions. Bonnie in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thanks. My husband's run that race four times in the last, 20 years or so. And my only thought when I saw the pictures was that the finish line's in a very It's in a downtown area with lots of high buildings. It's almost like a tunnel down there. And I believe that the blast went off sometime approximately the three-hour mark after the race started or something in that vicinity, I think.
I think it's something around the four-hour mark, but yes.
And right about then, you're having a great, it seems to me that's when you have the greatest number of runners coming down that last avenue and across the finish line at the same time. And just from that perspective, my first thought was that somebody wanted to injure as many runners as possible. And of course, they injured spectators as well. But if you go down and watch, it does start to taper off after about the 4.5 hour mark. And I just wondered about that the timing wasn't coincidental.
Yeah, we can double check on the timing. Have you ever, you said your husband's run it four times?
In the last 20 years.
Had you ever worried about something like this?
No.
Right.
When you go there and you go along the course as a spectator, as I did, and it's a very long course. It starts in Hopkinton, which is way out in the country, comes into town, so it's not circular like the Columbus Marathon. And as you go along, it's a huge holiday there.
Yeah.
And, everybody, including all the police and public servants, are out in force to help the crowds. And I personally once got separated from my party while I was spectating and lost my identification. And I had a policeman put me on the trolley for free and help me get back with the party I was with. And it's an unbelievable press of people. It's as well attended as Columbus is. Boston is 10 times more crowded.
It's just it's a big celebration day. I mean, everybody has the day off.
Yes. And everybody is in a joyful mood, and it's a big deal there. Everyone turns out to watch it and cheer the runners, and it's a phenomenal thing. And to hear this, that it happened, it's incredibly saddening.
Well, Bonnie, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Keith in Granville, you're on the air. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you. I'm concerned about all of the attention that we are putting into this issue, and we do on other issues. I think, you know, particularly in a case like this, what we're doing is feeding whoever it is and the types of people who want to get attention. They get it from us. They get it from the news media, and unfortunately, Ann, I think they're getting it from your show also. Mm. I think we're just way, way, way overdoing it. We just can feeding it's a feeding frenzy.
Where would you draw the line?
I'd stop for a while and wait and see what happens.
But you mean just not cover it at all?
It was covered yesterday, for example, for five straight or six straight hours, mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And this morning, you were starting to repeat things that you have read. So hopefully other people have read those things. And this issue, you're going to beat for an hour. You're going to beat the same issue. And I'm not saying it's a dead horse. It's a live horse. But we don't know anything yet. Wait and find out, and let the issues as they come out then come to play. We're basically, at least in my opinion, and this goes clear back to 9/11 and other issues, because we have electronic media. I was thinking the other day how easy it must have been for diplomats in the old days, and I'm talking way back when they didn't have all the reporters and the news media, they literally could do their work. Today they can't. And because everything is out there right now and everybody's speculating on things who know nothing.
All right. Well, Keith, thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Coming up, we're going to hear from a Homeland Security expert who's based in Boston right now. And then after that, we're going to hear from the director of the Columbus Marathon, who was there yesterday, and hear what he has to say going forward. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us today on 89.7 NPR News. 65 degrees in downtown Columbus. There is a chance of a shower or thunderstorm today and a high near 70. Rain is likely for tonight, maybe a pop-up thunderstorm, a low of 53. And still a chance of rain Wednesday, a high of 71. Program support is provided by the Arts College Prep Academy. ACPA is now enrolling high school students looking for safe and vigorous learning environment for all. More information about ACPA can be found online at artcollegeprep.org. And support for 89.7 comes from the State Auto Insurance Companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com. And All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Yesterday marked the 117th Boston Marathon, an iconic running event. It's watched around the world, usually ending in celebration with party crowds filling the bars and restaurants of the city. Yesterday, that celebration was cruelly replaced with shock and mourning as two explosions in quick succession leveled two sections near the finish line, killing three people, including an eight-year-old boy, and critically injuring at least six others and less seriously injuring as many as 174 at this time, as far as we know. Officials said yesterday that they had no warning attacks. Here is Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis yesterday.
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence. We certainly increase our posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
Joining us now is Sean Burke. He's an associate director. He's the associate director of the Costas Research Institute for Homeland Security at Northeastern University in Boston. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
Were you in Boston yesterday?
I was not. I was outside of Boston, but two of our research associates, who are fine, were on the street there yesterday. So we are grateful that our shop is all okay today.
They said yesterday, we just heard Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis speaking yesterday say that they had no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen. Isn't it typical for these huge events that there's something, that there's always something, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Often there is chatter, as they refer to it, that intelligence and law enforcement officials pick up on networks that they're monitoring, but it's not necessarily that they're going to pick that up before these events. And it, you know, also may, the fact that they didn't also may help to tell who it is that, or at least start to build a profile of who it is that carried out this attack.
Boston's a big city. It's not a huge populated city like you might think, but it's still a big city. I'm wondering, when they're preparing for an event like this, do they hire somebody? Do they hire outsiders to help them screen and listen to the chat and that sort of thing? Who, or is it just the police department that would be doing that?
So it's not only the police department. There's a joint terrorism task force, course, in the city of Boston, and there's also a fusion center in Massachusetts. And for these large national events, all sorts of federal agencies, everybody from the FBI to the ATF to immigration, through these coordinating bodies like the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the fusion centers, are engaged in preparing for these types of events. So it isn't only the Boston Police. They're certainly a big part of it, as are the state police and local law enforcement agencies. But it's a huge a law enforcement effort leading up to this.
One huge change just in the last decade, for sure, if not the last few years, is the amount of video that's going to be available. Video that's situated, in static places, and also the moving video of the spectators and so forth. Does that make that much of a difference?
Makes a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. And in the press conference that just ended a few minutes ago, where the FBI special agent in charge and the head of the ATF in Boston, we're putting out the call again and again for folks to provide information, provide tips, provide any video or imagery that they have of the event. They're not just paying that lip service. That's directly impacts their investigative process.
And they're not asking people to look at their own video to see if they find something first. They're just saying, give it to us.
That's correct.
Let us be the... It's interesting how they said they're going to do a minute-by-minute lead-up.
That's correct. Specifically, two of the law enforcement officials talked about that. And I believe the Boston Police Commissioner said that immediately before the event, at the event, immediately after the event is where you're going to start, because at this point they feel that's the most valuable type of imagery that they can get their hands on. But they did stress, just send it in. Folks shouldn't be evaluating the value of this on their own. If they have any kind of imagery related to the event, they should let the law enforcement people who are trained to do that do so.
My guest is Sean Burke, Associate Director of the Costas Research Institute for Homeland Security at Northeastern University in Boston. If you have questions or comments for him, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Ann in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. I haven't heard anything today about the bomb itself. They keep saying it was a homemade device. And I was just curious if the materials that this person or persons used, can they be traced? Are they so common that anyone could purchase them? And I also was questioning, like, the detonation device. Like, how do they do this? Do they have to be in closer proximity, or how far away, and can they get any kind of answers with that material?
Well, Sean Burke, first of all, what do they mean when they say homemade?
It's not clear, but, you know, necessarily, I don't think they're trying to give it a specific category otherwise, other than someone who referred to a device that is trying to put it in a specific sophistication category. Mm-hmm. So someone who referred to a bomb as a homemade bomb is trying to indicate that it's not one that is very sophisticated. In other words, uncommon chemicals or uncommon triggering devices.
A lack of so-called sophistication, though, doesn't mean an absence of sophistication.
That's absolutely correct. At the press conference this morning, what we did learn new was that there was only two bombs, as far as law enforcement officials know, and both of those were detonated. Early on, there was some reporting that there were undetonated explosives in the area,
yeah.
And there was a little bit of a hope that people said, wow, if they have an undetonated device, then they'll have more evidence on hand to, you know, dive in and figure out a signature and start tracing that back. But that's not available to them. That said, this country and federal law enforcement here have some of the best explosives folks around that are going to be diving into figuring out the signatures on this and tracing it back.
It was kind of scary seeing the photographs of all of the bags and so forth, particularly from the runners, but everything just laying around. Do they have to go through each one of those?
Yes, and they are. With bomb-sniffing dogs, and the Navy also announced this morning that they're sending up some teams as well. So National Guard folks, DOD folks, all the federal law enforcement agencies, they're all converging here to help with that effort. And that is, you know, one of the reasons why they've cordoned off such a large area. There's everything that they have to pour through at this point.
They said a 12-block area.
Yes.
Of the city. And going back to what Ann said, as far as the trigger, the detonator, people can do that with cell phones now.
They can. Cell phones and timers is probably the most likely scenario at this point. And, in tracing back events that have happened in the past around the world, quite often they would find, parts of the detonators that trace folks back with regards to the signature. So they are going to be pouring through every little piece they can find. And it's not only with the bomb itself, but also, you know, evidence in the surrounding area.
Okay, Ann, thanks for that call. We had a caller earlier from Granville, you know, a suburb of Columbus, who said we shouldn't even be talking about this now. But it struck me while I was listening to him that law enforcement officials, when you go to the airport, when you go to any kind of big event, they're always saying, look around if you see anything strange. And I think that talking about it helps us start to think about what looks strange.
I agree. I agree with a small part of the caller's point in that, you know, of course, this type of attack is focused on gaining media attention.
Yes.
But I think the larger point that was missed in his commentary is, you know, it's indicative of the comments that the law enforcement officials were saying at the press conference this morning in Boston, and the governor and the mayor, which is, hey, we need the public's help. And this is also indicative of how, moving forward, this country is going to have to handle these situations. And if you look at the video of the event afterwards, after the explosions, it's the people on scene who were tearing down the barricades, who are immediately responding. Those aren't necessarily our professional protectors. There were plenty of police there, but there also were everybody from nursing students to regular everyday people on the ground, to doctors and nurses who are running in the race. So this idea of covering this, certainly to the extent that people get the message that law enforcement and security folks are relying on them to help them solve this and prevent the next one, it's very, very important.
Scott in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Scott.
Yeah, hey, Ann. I just had a real quick comment and then a real quick question. I just wanted to say that I think you're doing an awesome job of covering this news situation. A lot of us don't have the opportunity to sit in front of the TV. We're on the road traveling a lot. So, I think thank God for people like you and NPR to deliver the news to us. My question is, I was a former deputy marshal and a former National Guardsman. Back in the 90s, we didn't have the hype that we have now with terrorists hitting our homeland. Are we not, as a collective, are we not doing bomb sweeps and whatnot in large events as this in Boston?
Sean Burke?
So there were bomb sweeps done. There were certainly bomb sniffing dogs and personnel doing that. There was specifically the commissioner mentioned at least two of them today. But you know, the problem with this type of event is the nature of the event itself. It's very public. There's large crowds. There's some innumerable number of access points to an event like this. So it's literally, it is sort of the impossible event. Event to entirely secure.
Thanks, Scott, for your comments and your question. I heard yesterday that they actually picked a time when things were starting to loosen up against up a little bit. The real elite runners had all gone through now, and this was just your ordinary everyday marathoner, if there is such a thing. In my book, there is not coming through at that point. That the security, they kind of eased up at that point.
It's not clear. I've heard, you know, that report as well, but I can tell you, having worked in various capacities with for law enforcement folks and state and local police and what have you, there isn't an easing up. There may be a slightly modified sort of posture with regards to what it is they're looking for and how they're reacting to situations based upon, you know, movement of VIPs and that type of thing. But I'm not sure that easing up would be the right characterization here. And also there was certainly, you know, from reports of people on the ground, this wasn't a scarce sort of part of the marathon with regards to how many people were there. There was a mass of people there. You know, most of the folks come to see their friends and family members and those are the quote unquote regular folks, running across the finish line at that point.
Email from Alex writes, it is not irresponsible to be talking about the bombing so much, as your previous caller said. 9/11 had a terrorist group trying to get a twisted message out, and all the coverage got that message out. This bombing has no known person responsible, so there is no twisted message getting out due to all the coverage. The police themselves are asking for a conversation to get as much information as possible. And on that score, we have Kate in Columbus. You have a question for Sean Burke. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks, Ann, and thanks, Sean. More of a comment than kind of a question.
Okay.
You know, everybody's calling for sharing any video or still photos that you may have, but I've heard actually no practical advice as to where does one share that? How, you know, do you make a copy of your SIM card and mail it to the FBI? You know, no practical tips for how is there a central location
where
people are
collecting
stuff?
Yeah, how do you get it to them, Sean?
So it appears what the law enforcement folks are asking for is a phone call first. They have given out several phone numbers, which I don't have in front of me right now, but I'm sure they're accessible on any number of the website here for Massachusetts Emergency Management or the FBI or the Boston Police Department. I can only speculate that the reason why they want a phone call first is they want to talk about, okay, you know, what is the type of media that you have? Is it a picture? Is it a live video?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on your phone? Is it on your camera? That type of thing. So they can provide guidance at that point.
Okay. All right. Good question again, Kate. Thanks so much for your call. Let's hear quickly from Barbara in Columbus. You're on the air, Barbara. Welcome. You're from Boston.
Yeah. Hey, Ann. It's Barbara. Yeah, from Boston, run it 4 times in the last 5 years. Not there this year, but had a bunch of friends in the chute when the bombs went off.
Mm.
And they're all okay. I have a couple of things, though. You know, I firmly disagree with the Granville caller. Runners are a family, and they all got together this morning, and they ran down the Charles at sunrise. And attacking an event like that specifically, it's attacking a certain lifestyle, a certain freedom on a very important day. And all it's going to do is solidify everybody. I'm injured right now, found out I'm having knee surgery this morning, and I'm already planning to qualify for 15 because I'm angry. And, we have a point to make. We have a point to make. It's a huge celebration. It's a wonderful day. And we're all just very, very angry.
Well, Barbara, thanks for that, and thank goodness for your friends. Glad they're all safe.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing this.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Sean Burke, and thanks to you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Sure, thanks very much for having me.
Sean Burke is the Associate Director of the Costas Research Institute for Homeland Security at Northeastern University in Boston. Coming up, Darris Blackford by phone. I was mistaken earlier. He's the director of the Columbus Marathon. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Each day, All Things Considered brings you unparalleled insight into the latest news. We interview experts who have deep knowledge on topics of the day, who have the skills to explain. We unravel complex issues that sometimes seem too hard to grasp. I'm Melissa Block. Join us every afternoon for All Things Considered from NPR News, your appointment with excellence.
All Things Considered later today from 4 until 6 on 89.7 NPR News. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 70 degrees. More rain likely tonight, a low of 53. Support comes from the Wexner Center for the Arts, partnering with the STAR program of the Wexner Medical Center to present an unforgettable evening with Natalie Cole, April 25th in the Mershon Auditorium. This fundraiser features the Grammy Award winner's take on the Great American Songbook. Tickets and VIP packages at wexarts.org.
And support comes from Ohio State's Ross Heart Hospital, helping to build healthy hearts with the 2013 Wellness Series. Heart disease is a leading cause of death in the United States, and regular physical activity is a great way to prevent it. Details about Ohio State's Wellness Series are at go.osu.edu/series. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. This hour, we've been discussing the tragic events that occurred yesterday during the Boston Marathon. The celebration was abruptly cut short as two explosions leveled two sections near the finish line, killing three people, including an 8-year-old boy, and critically injuring at least six others and less seriously injuring as many as 174 at this time. Here is how marathon runner Cindy Hill described the scene to the Associated Press.
We actually stopped for a second and then, you know, just to kind of collect ourselves, and then heard the bomb, looked behind us and saw lots of smoke. And there was a second one, and we knew it was the bomb, and everyone said, run, you need to run. And so basically everyone started running as much as they could.
Joining us now is Darris Blackford. He is the director of the Columbus Marathon and a participant in the Boston Marathon yesterday, Darris.
That is correct.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So can you give us a little, tell us a little bit about what you saw, where you were, and so forth when the bombs exploded?
Sure. I actually finished the race about 45 minutes or so before the explosions. I was actually in my hotel room, which overlooked the finish line, and I was scanning the television for some local coverage just of the race. I heard the first explosion, and as I headed to the window to see what was going on, I heard the second explosion. I could see the plumes of smoke. The first explosion, the one closest to the finish line, there was a building obstructing my view of the actual explosion site, but I could see the storefront where it had happened. I just couldn't see the ground there. I could see the ground very clearly at the second site. That was about 150 yards to the west of the first site, and I could see thousands of people. I was on the 34th floor of the hotel there, and I had a bird's eye view of all the streets and alleys and walkways around the finish area, and it was just thousands of people charging in each direction away from the area. The finish line volunteers and officials were clearing people as quickly as they could to get them out of the area. The police already started to move in to those explosion sites, and it was chaos. It was absolutely the blast was so strong that I was probably 300 to 400 yards as a bird flies from this site, and I felt it as strongly as I felt the Statehouse cannon that we fired our race start being 100 yards away from that. So it was a very massive, both the blasts were very massive.
Did you have that same feeling that a lot of us did when we were watching 9/11 live, that, oh, there's a plane that flew into the Trade Center, and wondering what happened? And then when the second plane flew in, then you knew something had gone wrong. Then we were like, oh my gosh, they're doing this on purpose.
No, I had a sense, from the first one, because of the fact that I'm around these events enough, and obviously with our own event, I know that 4 to 5 hours into one of these events, there's no cause for cannons or celebratory fireworks or any noises. It was something that was very wrong right away, and the second one certainly confirmed it. But I just knew, and again, when I saw the people, the finish line of the Boston Marathon is one of the most revered places in this sport, and the fact that people were running away from it and were stopping, I could see them stopping before they got to the finish, before the one building expected probably the last 100 feet of the race. I could see people well before that being diverted off the course, so I knew there was something wrong.
How many folks from Columbus do you know?
Hundreds of people from Ohio took part. I know that the website lists the different states, but I know personally probably 20 or 20 or more people that were there from the Columbus area taking part in the event.
Have you accounted for everybody?
Yeah, actually, between the group that I knew of, as well as some local training groups that had people go, I know that there's been kind of a social media chain to track people down, and everyone from the region has been accounted for and is safe.
When they ask for, you know, if people can come forward who saw anything strange, I mean, it is such a colossal event. There's so much going on. It's always a feast for the eyes at those kinds of places. I don't ever know what they mean by if you see anything strange.
You know, I think that it was such a dense area where this happened. The sidewalks are so crowded. We're talking 5 to 10 people deep in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And someone saw something. Someone is going to come forward, and there is going to have been, unless this was remotely detonated or something like that, someone has been observed or otherwise has done something that will bring somebody forward to say that, because you could not just do this. Like I said, if a person was involved at the moment it happened, they're going to have been seen doing it, because you couldn't otherwise do it.
We have a half marathon coming up in Columbus, and of course the Columbus Marathon a few months down the road. How does this inform you going forward? What do you do as the director of the Columbus Marathon now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I heard one of the callers saying that people are upset. I'm very offended. I take this so seriously. This is my life. I make sure that thousands of people are safe and secure doing something that they love, not just for themselves, but also, you know, we raised almost $1 million for Nationwide Children's Hospital this past year. This is an event that does so much for the community. It brings in millions of dollars to our economic development. And this is something that I'm passionate about, and I'm just I'm extremely offended. But at the same time, it does not bring anything new to the forefront for me in terms of what our mission is. Safety is the number one concern that we have for our participants, our volunteers, our spectators, as well as the citizens of Columbus and the suburbs that we go through. We have a very detailed plan that we work with the Columbus Police and the Suburban Police Department, the Columbus Fire Department, the Red Cross, the bomb squads. All those groups are part of our inner circle already, and we work very closely to make sure that we're doing all we can. They do sweeps of the areas the morning of the race, at the start and the finish, the expo at the convention center. We do, all that we can to take as much of the risk away from it. It doesn't mean we're not going to do more. I think we'll probably have to tighten down a little bit more, probably limit access to certain areas longer periods of time throughout race weekend, as well as maybe have more checkpoints that people to go through to get to the starting line. When you have 18,000 participants down at the Statehouse at dawn on race morning, plus their friends and family, it can be 40,000 to 50,000 people are down there at that moment in time. You can't just leave things to happenstance. You have to take steps to keep people safe. It's not about trying to ruin the experience. Mm-hmm. It's just to make sure that we do the right things. And we have long made safety our number one concern.
My guest is Darris Blackford. He's director of the Columbus Marathon. If you have any questions or comments for Darris, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We have an email from Mary Ann. She says, a young friend, Christopher Wassey, ran and finished around 20 minutes before the explosion. I'd been following his posts on Facebook and Twitter since Saturday and was so happy he was having this great experience. Knowing someone does make the terror palpable from hundreds of miles away, I grieve for all affected. You know, the point is that there's people from all over the world at the Boston Marathon. This affects people everywhere.
It does. It really does. The thing is, there's never a right moment for any type of display of violence like this. But at the same time, it leaves me wondering, what truly, when people are just trying to take care of themselves physically, become healthy and express their their healthiness in this this wholesome way, and they're the innocence is taken away of something so so basic. I mean, running and doing that, no one's hurting anybody, and they're doing good for the community. They raise millions and millions of dollars at the Boston Marathon for so many worthwhile charities. And for something like this to happen, it's just sick. It's just really, it's really sickening.
Have you already been hearing from people, participants in the Columbus Marathon? Have you gotten any feedback about anyone dropping out, anything like that?
You know, it's interesting. I would probably say that one of the most telling things, we had someone who was on our Facebook page today who said they had been on the fence about signing up for the race, but after what happened yesterday, they registered for this fall's event. I think it's going to be a unifying event for the running and walking, the fitness community. You know, we have thousands of walkers that take part as well. It's not just something for people that are fast. It's people just trying to take care of themselves. And it's interesting. We had the New York Marathon in November. It was canceled due to Hurricane Sandy.
That's
and
right.
There was a big split in the running community. Some people thought it never should have even reached the point of being canceled so late in the weekend. It should have happened the earlier in the week. Other runners felt like they had been kind of this had been taken from them by the city and by the race, and it should have happened. And there was a big split in the running community over that. Well, this one is just people are just saying, look, this is enough's enough. We don't deserve these types of things to happen in any part of our society, and in particular something like a wholesome event like running and a health-oriented activity.
So you expect to see even maybe an uptick of people saying in your face, you're not going to stop us from living our lives the way we want.
Yeah, I do. I think I don't know if people are going to be blatantly forceful and pointing
sure.
a finger and we're number one type of attitude, but
mm-hmm.
I do think that people are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think people are going to just say this is what I like to do. This is my passion, and I deserve to be able to do it, and I'm going to go and do it. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't be cautious. If I get calls and emails from people saying that they either don't want to do the event or want to withdraw,
mm-hmm.
we'd be happy to give their money back. I don't want anybody to be afraid, but I also will give you a commitment that we're going to do all we can, working very closely with the police and the fire and everyone else to take the steps necessary to provide a safe environment that we can. Some things can't be prevented, but at the same time, we're going to do all we can to address these issues.
I mentioned at the very top of the hour I don't know if irony is necessarily the right word, but luckily it was an event like a marathon where there were lots of emergency medical personnel around.
That is such a good point you bring up. Right at the finish line of that race, there's, I think it's an 8,000 square foot medical tent that's got dozens of medical personnel, doctors and equipment, for dealing with major triage situations. And the weather yesterday was so pleasant for mm-hmm. running a marathon. And I heard that there wasn't a lot of people that needed medical care, dehydration.
Unlike last year.
Exactly.
Right.
So when you look at that, that basically means there was some space available to address the to take care of folks that needed help. And I heard that was the case. And so they, the response that I could literally see from my window of the police and fire rushing into those areas at the finish line was extremely. It couldn't have happened if they'd been a mile away,
mm-hmm.
a mile from their, the Fenway Park. There was thousands and thousands of people at the Red Sox game. If this had happened there, with all those resources down at the finish line, it could have been a much more catastrophic situation. And I hate to say that, but if anything good out of it, it was the fact that the response was able to be quick.
Were you planning on coming home right away?
No, absolutely not. My flight, I would be in the air right now.
Hmm.
But what happened is after they started evacuating some of the downtown hotels and they were closing off the streets right near the finish, which, as I said, that's where we were staying. And I've been at Logan Airport on a good day, and it's chaotic. and a Boston Marathon trying to come home that the day after is pretty hectic. They were canceling some flights last night, I heard already. And so we just, my friends and my wife, we just said, look, let's try to go home because we're not going to be able to do anything staying here. And we may end up having to stay several more days. And so we rented a car and drove all night. It was, but you do what you need to do. You know, that's the least, compared to what other people have gone through with this, that's certainly nothing, it wasn't so hard compared to what other people are going through right now.
So in the community, when something like this does happen, are you planning anything now for the Columbus Marathon in acknowledgement of this tragedy?
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, there's a local running store here in Columbus up on Polaris Parkway called Fleet Feet. They're actually having a meetup, a Boston Marathon meetup tonight at 6 o'clock, and I think that's kind of what you're seeing. People are really expressing themselves on social media and Facebook and that of just wanting to do something. I think you're going to see whether it's some type of fundraisers or at least some type of awareness or recognition. I think that'll continue out throughout the year. You know, we'll certainly acknowledge this at our race. I mean, I don't want to think about the proverbial moment of silence, but we'll do something to pay respects. I can also tell you that we will not have the Statehouse cannon firing in our race. We did this last year. In the last couple of years, it's a nice way to start the race, kind of a starter's gun for everyone. But it's too sensitive of an issue. It's not necessary, and so we'll celebrate. We have fireworks and things like that don't cause as much of a disruption to people. And it starts at 7:30, so it's a little dark in October, and the fireworks are great, but that's enough of a celebration.
What's the website for the Columbus Marathon if people want to check out more about it?
Yep, columbusmarathon.com.
ColumbusMarathon.com, and we'll try to dig up that Fleet Feet website as well for folks who are interested in that event tonight. Dearest Blackford, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And if people want to send emails to me personally at info@ColumbusMarathon.com, those come right to me. I'm happy to answer questions.
All right. Dearest Blackford, director of the Columbus Marathon, thanks to everybody for listening, for all your great calls and questions today. And hope the people in Boston know we're thinking of them. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.